Akkor megragadom az alkalmat és magyarul beszélek, hogyha megvan az engedélyem. Köszöntök mindenkit, Szegléd Éva vagyok a ProQuest-től. Azért gondoltam, hogy kijövök ide, mivel a legtöbbőtök úgy is ismer, vagy látott már engem, vagy beszéltünk, és nagyon sokszor, amikor a könyvtár feladatait vesszük számba, ugye az előfizetések mellette egyéb együttműködésekről is szó esik, és nagyon sokszor beszélek a disszertációs adatbázisunkról, mint egy különleges elektronikus forrásról, és mindig megkérdezitek, hogy oké, Éva, de honnan veszitek az anyagokat, milyen disszertációt, milyen gyűjtéssel, és milyen módon dolgoztok föl, és teszitek elérhetővé. És ilyenkor mindig meg szoktam mondani, hogy van egy osztályunk, egy külön csapat, aki ezen dolgozik, magyarországi egyetemi disszertációk megjelenítésért és a nemzetközi láthatóságuk növeléséért a német kollégám Meinhard Kettler felelős, úgyhogy most nagy örömömre szolgál, hogy bemutathatom, és ő mondhatja el személyesen, hogy mit és hogyan dolgozunk. So let me introduce my colleague, Meinhard Kettler, who is Academic Relationship Manager for Hungary, and he will have a nice introduction about the uploading to our dissertation database. Thank you.
Thank you, Eva, for introducing me. I must say I didn't get all your message because you talked very quickly, only the end actually. Yeah, Hungarian is still a challenge for me. Thank you also to the organizers for inviting us to this conference. And I must say, you have done a really great job. You understand me now? To fill this room with librarians from all over Hungary and also from neighbor countries. Maybe it's due to the nice location and to Budapest, but at least people stay here and do not enjoy the nice weather on the river. So, yeah, another topic, and I hope you have still a bit of space in your heads. I would like to talk about dissertations and what ProQuest can do for you with that respect. So it's about showcasing your university's research output. We think that dissertations and theses are valuable research that should be made visible and connected to your institution. We know that this is done already a lot. And when I joined the company about a year ago and started to dive into this topic, I thought, it is all done. All dissertations are available electronically already, and they are open access on repositories. But unfortunately, this is not the case. We heard this morning that a lot of repositories have many, many dissertations and theses, and that is the majority of the content on many repositories. But that doesn't mean that this is complete. So there is a lot of content missing due to various issues. It is, of course, very helpful that dissertations are written or submitted more and more in digital form, so-called ETDs, electronic theses and dissertations. As I said before, they are populated to open access institutional repositories. They cover a great variety of research subjects, and they also contain a great level of details. So it is sometimes the subject that is interesting because it's covered in great detail, and sometimes we have very exotic subjects in dissertations and theses. But also from the formal point of view, it is relevant for other PhD students to see dissertations and theses as a template for their own work. However, there are quite a number of issues. When I talk to librarians, I hear that still in many countries a lot of these works are still submitted in print, so it's very hard to make them available online without digitizing. They're not always university-wide standards. For instance, there are different dissertation or submission guidelines from faculty to faculty. So even in one university, you can have a number of different policies. And there's also, of course, a variety of legal issues. There's the copyright, mostly by the author, not always, sometimes by the institution. There are embargo requests. We hear that many authors want embargoes on their dissertations and theses because they think they one day make a super deal with a publisher and publish a monograph. But this does not always happen, so sometimes the content is just lost due to these embargoes. And there are other issues. It is far from being complete what we see from the user's perspective. It is sometimes really hard to find dissertations and theses on the open internet and also in particular databases if you want to cover a certain subject. So I think it's still the case that dissertations and theses are sometimes neglected. We heard a lot about journal articles this morning because these are, of course, far more in the focus when we talk about publishing and open access. But as I said, dissertations and theses are valuable, I think we should exploit them far more. And it starts already the inconsistency with the wording. Dissertation in the US is a thesis in the UK and vice versa, and in Germany it's still different. So there are still some lacks of standards. And it's no surprise that I would now like to talk about our product, the PQDT, as it is abbreviated because the word is so long, ProQuest Dissertations and Theses. This is a dissertation and thesis database which exists already since the 30s of the last century. So the database, of course, was not accessible at that time due to technology. Founder of the company, UMI, started to produce dissertations on microfilm, and that's how it all started. And now we have a number of awards and achievements, basically in the US, because this is where it all stems from. We are official dissertations repository for the United States Library of Congress, and also database of record for graduate research by the American Research Libraries Organization. All in all, we have 3,000 graduate schools that contribute to our database. Of course, we do not have all the content from all these institutions, but it is really huge. Here's some more figures about PQDT Global. We have 4 million citations of dissertations and theses, and out of these we have 1.9 million available in full text PDF, and we are mainly proud of these full text pieces because these give the best user experience. They are indexed people really find a lot of detail by searching the full text of our database from our search interface and also from discovery services. We have more than 90% of the US dissertations in our database, and we also have a lot of material from other countries like Canada, also from other continents, but of course in European countries Latin America, Middle East, and Asia Pacific, we have far lower percentages. And that's why I would like to talk about how the content gets into BQDT. So one option is that authors submit their content themselves. We do make contracts with these authors, so they supply abstracts and keywords, but still there is a lot of work until it's published in our database. We do quality checks. There's an editorial team of subject matter experts that reviews metadata and completes the data if necessary. We also add keywords and subject terms from our vocabulary in order to give these pieces more exposure. And then finally it gets into the PQDT database and is fully searchable, not only the metadata, but also the full text. So you could think that our service is a competition to your institutional repository, where you have dissertations and theses from your own institutions. But we think it's just complementary. We see it as an additional distribution channel which complements the deposit on an OA institutional repository. So there is no conflict between the two ways. If the material is already on an institutional repository, we would still take it, and we do not claim any exclusivity for the content that we provide. And we do a bit more for the content of your university or your graduate school. We extract the metadata of all the material we get, and we populate it to many subject indexes that are known in the different fields, like the logos that you see on this slide, InSpec, SciFinder, Compendex, GeoRef, MathSciNet, and also PubMed, and all these very well-known names and brands that are used in the different disciplines. And from there, metadata can be found about the dissertations in PQDT, and there are links from there to our database, so that, for instance, the works from Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and all the well-known institutions that work with us are found in these indexes and create even more visibility. What we also do in cooperation with libraries and institutions is digitizing of in this case, dissertations and theses, because this is our main topic, and this is where we have the experts for. So we have in our facilities near Ann Arbor in the US, in Ypsilanti, we have a digitization team and the equipment that is needed, so that on order of universities, we are able to digitize dissertations in all sizes and colors and with all supplemental material. And we feed it into our database after it's being digitized. And we also send electronic copies back to the universities so that they can be made available on repositories as well. And yeah, we have some additional services like MARC records that we provide back to the cooperating institutions. So a bit about the new content. As I said, for historical reasons, our service started or it started in the US, and for historical reasons, the majority of content that we have is from the US. We try to expand this. We try to get more institutions and universities from all over the world on board. And some of the recent results you can see here. Very renowned institutions like the UCL, other institutions from the UK like Cardiff University, London School of Economics, that also have partnered with us on digitizations, but also from other countries like Australia and Indonesia are our new partners. And we are interested to get more from other countries, like for instance Hungary. Another detail that that is an advantage for those institutions that work with us is the dissertation dashboard that was created a couple of years ago. It gives access to the administrators from the institutions, and it gives the option to track the usage of the university-specific content on our platform. So we have usage figures like citations, abstract views, PDF downloads, and we can break this down by subject, by geographical region, and even by institution. And this is for those institutions that feed content to us and that at the same time subscribe to PQDT Global. That is a combination for technical reasons at the moment. So this helps really to see if there is complementary usage over the usage on the repository. And if you speak to repository managers, then there is always a challenge to evaluate the usage, because there are so many robots driving the usage high, but it's not always humans that are really searching for something. So it might be interesting to see how the usage develops when the content is on PQDT. There are author benefits as well, although they are in very small letters here. I hope you will still be able to read. It's basically the same thing. It's visibility of the author's output, and and also showcasing their research, which is for authors important as well. In addition, we pay authors royalties once they register with us, and we, as we have print-on-demand services, we would pay 10% royalty for all the orders we generate for a specific work to this particular author. How is it possible to submit to ProQuest if you are an interested institution? First of all, we have an online tool called ETD Administrator, which is used by 600 libraries all over the world. The libraries or the institutional administrators are maintaining and administrating the account. The authors or the students register, complete their metadata fields, and they get the publishing agreement with ProQuest, and then they submit the PDF. This is after approval of the administrator, submitted to ProQuest, and can also be submitted back to the university repository if this fits into the internal workflow. Another method would be harvesting. We are using OAI PMH protocols, for instance, for harvesting, but this is basically only for metadata. As we also would like to harvest the full text, we make individual agreements and look into technical details with the repositories. And so in this case, the university has the material already on their servers, and they amend their submission to include the ProQuest dissemination to inform the authors about it. The student completes the submission, and once the material is on the IR, then ProQuest harvests it from there. So this is one example how this information to students could look like. There is, in most cases, there is an agreement between institution and student, and in this particular case, the university notifies the student about the submission via ProQuest, and then it links to the PQDT author agreement, which the author can see from there. So here, in a nutshell, the summary, why publish with ProQuest? 3,000 universities and organizations already do it, although I said, the number is pretty high, and we do not have the complete material, of course, from all these universities. But the main thing is maximizing discoverability of university research, both for the institution that needs to have exposure, but also for the author. And it's also used by 3,000 institutions, and is it has about 200 million searches per year. And as I said before, the metadata is discoverable in major subject indexes, which is a very important point for many of the institutions we work with. ProQuest is a non-exclusive publisher. The authors or universities, depending on the situation in the individual country, retain the copyright, and if authors register, they receive 10% of the sales revenue. Are there any questions? Do we have time at all?
We still have 1 minute.
No questions at the moment, so I would like to say Kösönöm, or thank you. And here is my colleague's email address. You can correspond with her in Hungarian, much better than with me, but I've displayed my email address as well. So please let me know if you're interested in a partnership, and let's just get in touch. Thank you very much. Thank you.